In 2003, Nike signed 13-year-old Freddie Adu to a seven-figure contract. But Freddie didn't live up to the hype. He has turned down every single documentary project looking closely at the details of his career. Until now.
People are going to look at everything you did because of the hype surrounding your arrival and what they think you can be.
I'm Grant Wall, and this is American Prodigy, Freddie Adu, from Blue Wire Podcasts.
On today's episode of the Pride Podcast, we're going to break down the Carolina Panthers offense and defense. With all these injuries, can the Detroit Lions take advantage of the Carolina Panthers? We also have our score predictions and bold predictions, all in episode 143 of the Pride Podcast.
Yo, what is going on, guys? Welcome back to the Pride Podcast, episode 143 on the Blue Wire Network. Today's episode is going to be sponsored by Indeed.com and BetOnline.ag. I'm your host, Tyler, joined by my two guys, as always, Malcolm and Pierre. How you boys doing on this nice Thursday night?
Woo!
Doing real well. Let's get this thing rolling.
Okay, there we go. All right. All right, so we're here now to break down the Detroit Lions versus the Carolina Panthers. A big game in Raleigh, North Carolina. And this game is a little different. It has kind of a vibe that I don't know if you guys even know the vibe, why it's different. This game is kind of significant for this podcast for this certain reason. You guys are looking confused right now. Why am I saying this? So when we started this podcast back in 2018, who was the Lions' first win? Of us breaking down.
Panthers?
The Carolina Panthers. We haven't played the Carolina Panthers since.
Wow.
So, that was episode 3 of us talking about the Lions and Panthers game.
That's some good observation you got there, Tyler.
Yeah, and now we are all the way back. We are 144 episodes in now. So, that's wild, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, it was a Lions win, so that's why I made it significant. It wasn't the first podcast, but it was the first podcast following a Lions win, which was rare, especially in 2018 as well. So I thought it was pretty significant, and I thought it was a cool fact. But let's get into this injury report now. You guys don't care about that stuff. So Lions, Panthers. I'm going to start off with the Panthers injury report, and then Peter could read off the Detroit Lions injury report, and then we'll get into the breakdown. Starting off with the Panthers, starting corner Dante Jackson is dealing with a toe injury. He has not participated the last couple days. Start running back Christian McCaffrey dealing with a shoulder injury. He missed last week. He has not participated the last couple days. Guard John Miller is dealing with a knee and ankle. He hasn't participated the last couple days. Former Detroit Lions linebacker Tahir Whitehead is dealing with a rib injury. He was non-participant on Wednesday. He was limited on Thursday. Starting quarterback Teddy Bridgewater is dealing with a knee injury. He's been limited the last couple days. His status right now is unlikely, according to Ian Rappaport. So that's something to definitely monitor on Sunday on game day to see if he is active at 11:30 a.m. Safety Sam Franklin is dealing with an ankle injury. He was limited the last couple days. Second-round pick defensive end Yetur Gross-Matos is dealing with a shoulder injury. He is limited the last couple days. Defensive end Marquise Haynes is also dealing with a shoulder injury. He has been limited the last couple days. Tight end Chris Manhertz is dealing with a shoulder injury as well. He's been limited the last couple days. Tackle Russell Okung is dealing with a calf injury. He was limited on Wednesday, did not participate on Thursday. Running back Mike Davis dealing with a thumb injury. He was a full participant the last couple days. And then cornerback Rasul Douglas is dealing with an ankle injury. He was not listed on Wednesday, and he was a full participant on Thursday. So that is the Carolina Panthers injury report. What do you guys got to say about that?
Yeah, I want to bring up. Yep. I want to bring up a couple things regarding that list. Running back, Christian McCaffrey, cornerback, Dante Jackson, left tackle, Russell Okung, right guard, John Miller are not expected to play per Matt Rhule. And then also there was reports today from NFL Network and Pro Football Talk that Teddy Bridgewater is also unlikely to play. So the Panthers are banged up.
Yeah, and we will get into who their potential quarterback could be this Sunday starting for them when we get into their offensive breakdown. But let's get into the Detroit Lions injury report, and then we'll do that after.
All right, this is super long, so just bear with me here. Danny Amendola hip, no practice both Wednesday and Thursday. Kenny Galladay hip, limited on Wednesday, no practice Thursday. DeAndre Swift with a concussion, practiced Wednesday. Looks like he suffered from a concussion today, no practice. Or maybe, like, I don't know what went on with him, how he got it. So he's in protocol right now. His status is in doubt. Austin Bryant thigh, no practice Wednesday, limited on Thursday. Jerry Davis knee, limited both days. Deshaun Hand groin, wasn't listed on Wednesday, limited on Thursday. TJ Hockenson toe, limited both days. Christian Jones knee, limited both days. Marvin Jones knee, didn't practice yesterday, was limited on Wednesday. Jerron Kearse ankle, wasn't listed on Wednesday, came up with an ankle today, limited. Matthew Stafford right thumb, no practice on Wednesday, limited today. Big V with a foot, limited both days. Nick Williams shoulder, limited on Wednesday, full practice Thursday. And then Agnew Rips, full practice on both days.
Yeah, I want to bring up the big one, and that's DeAndre Swift being listed on this injury report on Thursday with a concussion. The only way he could play and play this Sunday, there's a very small chance, but very unlikely. So this is what would happen for him to pass protocol. He would have to be symptom-free 100% to do a cardio workout, and then he would also have to be a full participant in a non-contact practice. And obviously, this is Thursday. There's only one practice left for the Lions, and that would be Friday. So unless DeAndre Swift has zero symptoms going into Friday morning, and he could practice, that is the only way he could end up playing this Sunday versus the Carolina Panthers. So chances are unlikely, but I guess there's somewhat of a chance and something to monitor on Friday's practice report. So there's that if you guys are curious about DeAndre Swift.
Yeah.
I'm assuming.
I want to bring up another thing regarding Matthew Stafford. I think he'll play. He looked fine last week. The only concern with him is, like, if a re-injury happens or if he injures it more during a game. Because, you know, you get sacked and you get, like, you get tackled, you get contacted. So that's just something to monitor during the game. Amani Oruye did said he looked great today in practice. So that's good news.
And then also Kenny Galladay, he was listed as a non-participant on Thursday. From what we heard from the media guys who were there, specifically Kyle Menke on Twitter, he said he saw Kenny Galladay warming up, stretching with the team, and looked okay. So I don't know. The Lions listed him as a non-participant. He was limited on Wednesday. So that is something to also keep up with going into Sunday's game versus the Carolina Panthers, because that's going to be an interesting decision. And then from, you know, as far as maybe elevating someone from the practice squad, this might be the week we elevate Mohamed Sanu. With no Danny Amendola this week, it looks like. And then Kenny Galladay status in the year right now. And Marvin Jones is also dealing with the little injury as well. This might be a week where you elevate your veteran wide receiver, Mohamed Sanu.
Yeah, and then another guy also, Tom Kennedy's the guy, because he basically plays the same role as Amendola. And they like him. I know they like him a lot. So we'll see.
Yeah, it's been a while since we've seen TK. But yeah, he's been around and they've kept him around. So they must have seen something and, you know, encouraging to keep him around. I guess Jamal Agnew is back in practice as a full person. So there's that if they want to get him in the passing game. But we'll get into that when we talk about the Lions offense. But let's talk about this Carolina Panthers offense versus Detroit Lions defense. Here, you want to go ahead and break down some of the guys, their starters?
Yes. So I'm going to assume Teddy isn't going to play because of the reports. If he does, I didn't report it. So the guy most likely to start, I think, would be P.J. Walker. But Matt Rhule did say they're going to give both guys a chance. And P.J. Walker played in the XFL.
In the XFL.
Oh, Will Greer is the other guy. So Walker played in the XFL. I watched him, like, limited snaps. He wasn't good, but it was just, like, a couple snaps. I don't think he's good. And then Will Greer last year wasn't good with them. So we'll see what happens over there. And then running back, they got Mike Davis. He's actually pretty good, like a dual kind of guy, averaging 4.2 yards on the ground, and he also has 47 receptions in the passing game, so he's pretty good. And there, he's backed up by Rodney Smith and Trenton Cannon. Now, this is what concerns me the most about this Panthers team. They're wideouts. Robbie Anderson, DJ Moore, and Curtis Samuel all are pretty good. They're all fast. Anderson and DJ Moore have combined over 1,000 yards. So those guys are guys to watch out for. And then they're backed up by Brandon Zilsta and Farrell Cooper. Yep. Their tight ends, Ian Thomas. Those guys are all solid blockers, but they don't get them involved that much in the passing game. Their leading receiver, for example, is Thomas with only 93 yards, so they don't really give him the ball that much. Getting into their O-line, I'm assuming Russell Okung will be out. So Trent Scott, if you remember from last year versus the Chargers when we played them, he's actually played decent in his limited snaps. He's good in pass pro, not the best run blocker, though he's okay. And then left guard Chris Reed, he's not that good in either category. He has 3 penalties, a lot of sack. Their center, Matt Paradis, if you remember, he was with the Broncos a couple years ago, I believe. He's pretty good. Just allowed 1 sack. He has no penalties on the year. And then their right guard, John Miller, is likely out. So they're going to go with Dennis Staley. He's solid in pass pro, but not a good run blocker. And then their right tackle, Taylor Moen, he's pretty good. He's a good run blocker and pass blocker. He's allowed 2 sacks and he has 2 penalties. But I like Moen a lot. So yeah, that's their offense.
So something I thought that's very intriguing. You guys are looking at this running back depth in Carolina and you're like, they're good. Like they run the ball well and without Christian McCaffrey and like Mike Davis, like, yeah, he's solid. But I thought this was something very intriguing, and this is something you actually see pretty frequently when you watch the Carolina Panthers. And me and Malcolm were just talking about it before we started the show. We were talking about this off-air, and this is going to be a very tough match for the Detroit Lions, in my opinion. That's Curtis Samuel. You guys are wondering, Curtis Samuel, the wide receiver from Ohio State, he plays running back? Yeah, you'd be surprised. He actually has 25 carries this year. He's rushed for 108 yards. He has 2 rushing touchdowns, and you're like, what? He's forced 8 missed tackles as well, so there's that. Curtis Samuel is not a bad back, and I think this is going to be a mismatch for anybody the Detroit Lions decide to put on him, because I can't think of a good matchup the Lions could put on him. Jamie Collins sounds like a nightmare. Justin Coleman is probably your best bet, and that doesn't even sound that promising. Who else do you put on a guy like Curtis Samuel if he's lined up in the backfield?
Well, so I actually listened to Matt Rhule's presser, and he said he doesn't want to get Curtis Samuel out there a lot because they did put him out there one game he got hurt. But he's explosive, right? 4.31 speed, good route runner, fast. I mean, you don't really have a guy to match up with that. You just kind of like have to pray for the best, just hope for the best, sort of. Like, you don't really have a guy to match up one-on-one with him. Jamie Collins, that's a mismatch. Your corners are not as fast. There's not really a guy. Like, he's good in open space. He's quick. He's fast.
Yeah, if he's out there, I mean, you just better hope that we're in zone. Because that's the only thing that's going to save us in that play, because I think it's going to be a very big play. If they catch us in the cover one and he's back there, that's going to be a nightmare. So hopefully we're playing some kind of zone, hopefully a cover 3, something. Because if not, I can see that's going to be a 20-yard play off rip. We have nobody to cover him.
This is a good situation, I think, for a backup quarterback to step in. Like, you got a good offense around you. The O-line is solid. You got some really nice wideouts. And we actually alluded to them, maybe the most underrated trio or duo, you want to call them. Like, they got a very sneaky, underrated wide receiver core that I don't think gets much hype. DJ Moore's not been, you know, the same DJ Moore as maybe his last year. You know, he's been a little more quiet, but that's just opened up for other guys that they have on their roster, guys like Robbie Anderson, who has been really sneaky for this team, and someone, you know, who's actually shown his real potential that everyone thought, you know, Jets fans were always talking about, and you're like, oh, you're crazy. He's not that good. He's on the Jets, whatever. But he looks really good this year on the Panthers. He's been one of the biggest surprises this year. And then Curtis Samuel, like we mentioned, I mean, he's just a mismatch nightmare for any defense, and especially a defense that loves man coverage. So, I don't know. I'm having a headache, and I'm not even the guy game planning this, you know, for the Panthers, and I'm having a headache just trying to figure out how to stop Curtis Samuel and how to stop this offense, even with PJ Walker and even without Teddy Two Gloves and without Christian McCaffrey. Like, yeah, you just took out two significant pieces, but this team is gritty, man. They fight in every single game. Doesn't matter who the team is. They almost took down the Kansas City Chiefs in Arrowhead. I mean, this is a competitive team. Yeah, they had CMC. That was his return game. And Teddy Two Gloves was playing that game. But they're a 3-7 team. This offense is, I mean, I like it. I mean, it might not be the best offense on paper, and they're young, but man, look out for these Panthers in the future, man. I mean, they might not be the best team this year, but this is a team I'm looking out for the future. I love what Matt Rhule is doing in Carolina, yep. And he's building something nice, man.
Yeah, you're damn right, man. If I were to pretty much build like a team, I would use this blueprint right here, what they did. I love the wide receiving core. They have something that we don't have, and I've been begging for us to have for the longest, and that is a home run hitter. They have guys that could take a screen and take it 60 yards. Like DJ Moore, the guy, you give him a screen, he can make a play. Robbie Anderson, give him a screen, can make a play. Curtis Samuel, give him a screen, he can make a play. They have home run hitters. We don't have that guy. That's what our offense is lacking.
You have Marvin Hall.
Marvin Hall is a deep threat. Marvin Hall is not going to get a screen and take it 60 yards.
He could. They just don't give it to him. They give it to Amendola instead.
Who fault is that?
That's Bev.
Yeah, oh. It's fucking Bevel, man. Fucking Bevel.
I think our only explosive guy on this offense is like DeAndre Swift.
They also got Agnew, too. Agnew could do that, too. They don't give it. They don't get him involved in space.
We don't. I mean, that's the difference. And this team right here, the Panthers, they have tons of guys that gets the opportunity to get yak yards, make a guy miss. They're like, look, we'll give you the ball, make one guy miss, and make a play. That's what we're lacking, you know. So, yeah, even without Teddy Bridgewater, I am scared of this offense, just because of the speed that they have, and I think the speed could be an issue, especially if we come out with that big slow 3-4 lineup.
Oh Lord,
if we come out with that big slow 3-4 lineup, we're gonna be screwed.
Yeah, I mean, and this is an offense where, I mean, like I mentioned, this is a good situation for a backup quarterback, like PJ Walker or Will Greer, whoever ends up being. I mean, he just needs to get he just needs to throw the ball short. I mean, like you mentioned, they have the home run ability. He could throw a little screen pass to Curtis Samuel, and that's a 60-yard touchdown right there.
He just has to make one person miss, and it could go 60 yards.
Yeah, exactly. But like, you guys are acting like kind of like, I don't know how to say it. Their offense is ranked, let's see, 17th in pass, 22nd in rushing. It's not like nothing special. It's okay. It's not like...
Well, I'm comparing it to this Lions defense, and this is just not a good matchup for the Lions defense, in my opinion. The Lions just don't do good with speed. They've never done good with speed since Patricia.
If PJ Walker is out there, I don't think Walker is good.
I mean, Alex Smith, who hasn't started a game in 727 whatever million days.
Alex Smith is a veteran, though. He's seen everything. This guy, PJ Walker, you could confuse him. He hasn't even started a game in the NFL yet.
Yeah, I understand that. And I'm not saying PJ Walker's good. And I asked you this question before the show. What does PJ Walker do significantly better? Or what does a Lions backup quarterback do significantly better than PJ Walker? You have faith in Chase Daniel to win you a game, right?
Sure. Like one game if you really need it.
Hell no. Okay. No. They could be playing the Jets. No.
I don't either. But Pierre says he has some faith in Chase Daniel winning the game.
Like, he could win you one game if you like need it. Like, and he doesn't need to play special. You need, like, you could have like a good running game. You know, it just depends who they play.
And this is not to flip the Chase Daniel, the biggest scammer of the NFL, who scammed $63 million from the NFL. Different story on a different day. What I'm saying is, what is Chase Daniel significantly better than PJ Walker at?
He's a vet. He's been in the league for like since 2009. PJ Walker has not been in the league that long. He's never started.
Chase Daniel has started a total of 5 games and has 2 wins on his resume.
But Chase Daniel is known to be smart, though. That's why teams like him, right? Because he's smart. He helps in the film room. He does all that. PJ Walker, I mean, he was in the XFL, dude.
I think Chase Daniel's qualified to be in the XFL, too. But a different story on a different day. I don't know, man. I just don't like this matchup at all for this Lions defense. They And that's fine. I mean, yeah, I don't know. I think there's so many mismatches on this Lions defense with this Carolina offense. I mean, their O-line is solid. They're going to give P.J. Walker time. Mike Davis is a solid running back. They're going to use Curtis Samuel. They're going to use all their wideouts. I mean, it's going to be a tough match for this Detroit Lions defense, in my opinion. What makes you confident that you like this matchup?
They have a backup left tackle playing. Their left guard is awful, and they have a backup right guard playing. So they have three offensive linemen that are not – the guys I've mentioned, they played well, but they played well on limited snaps, some of the guys I've mentioned. So they have three guys on the O-line that are not, good.
I guarantee we don't get no more than one sack. No more than one sack and two pressures. With that O-line that you just said, I guarantee you.
I kind of disagree there. I think if P.J. Walker is there, you could confuse him, right? The Lions blitz when there's a younger quarterback or when there's an unproven. You see what they did in Jacksonville? They blitz. They played man. They played zone. I think this is what they'll do this game too. Especially P.J. Walker, bro. You could confuse this guy. He hasn't seen much.
So, Malcolm, where do you stand on this confidence level?
Confidence level? I'll say, I mean, this is a game, definitely. I mean, this is a game the Lions should win.
Well, I'm just saying, just from the offensive perspective, from the Lions defense perspective, we'll get into that after. But
I mean, Pierre's right. I mean, this is a game that the Detroit Lions could take advantage of a P.J. Walker, you know, and confuse them. This is a game that they should be able to do that. Now, will they do it? I'm hoping.
You look at their history, though. When they play young quarterbacks, they blitz. When they play vets, they don't blitz as much. So I think this is a game where they're going to confuse him, give him different looks, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, they don't confuse Mitch Trubisky.
Yeah, that's the thing, man. I don't know, because I seen them play a rookie Sam Darnold, and that was...
They didn't confuse him.
Yeah, so that's the thing. I mean, right now, these Lions, you know how you say that they're so hard to predict? This is this is a game that is hard to predict. And if just taking out the P.J. Walker, if Teddy Bridgewater somehow plays, I think it's going to be a massacre. I'm just going to put that out there. If Teddy Bridgewater plays, he's going to dice us up.
I don't necessarily think it'll be a massacre. I think it could be some fireworks. We could see fireworks. Because, bro, their defense is not good. You want to get into their defense?
Let's take a quick commercial break and then we'll do that.
All right.
2020 has already reshaped how we work, and it's almost over. Businesses across the globe are challenged to be their most efficient, which means every hire is crucial. Indeed is here to help. Indeed is the number one job site in the world with more total visits than any other job sites, according to ComScore. Indeed helps you find quality candidates quickly so you can focus on hiring the person you need to keep your business going. You only pay for what you need. You can pause your account at any time, and there is no long-term contracts. And now, Indeed's new way of matching you with candidates instantly delivers a short list of quality candidates whose resume on Indeed match your job criteria that you can contact the moment you sponsor a job, making Indeed the only job site that can move as fast as you do. Right now, Indeed is offering our listeners a free $75 credit to boost your job posts, which means more quality candidates will see it fast. Try Indeed with a free $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire. This is their best available offer anywhere. Go right now to Indeed.com/BlueWire.
Offer valid through December 31st. Terms and conditions apply.
Football is back in full swing. You might not be in a game this year, but you can still be in on all the action at BetOnline. BetOnline is going an extra mile to make sure you get every possible chance to win this season. From game spreads and totals to teams, players, and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than anywhere else. You can get in on their season opening bonus today and start wagering on wins, divisions, and championship futures all day, every day. Head to BetOnline today and take advantage of all their great sign-up bonuses. Don't forget, use promo code BLUEWIRE at betonline.ag. That's BLUEWIRE, all one word. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
All right, guys, we are back. So we talked about this Carolina Panthers offense. Me and Malcolm are not as optimistic. Pierre's a little more optimistic on this Lions defense versus Panthers offense.
Let's I'm not like super optimistic. It's just like the pieces they have. Like if no Ted and you have three guys on the O-line who are like not proven, that's why really.
Yeah. So, okay. So, but to be fair, you're more optimistic, right?
Yeah, more a little more.
Definitely more optimistic than me and Malcolm.
For sure.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about this Panthers defense now.
All right. So I'm going to start with their best defensive player. And yes, I said best. Brian Burns. Four sacks this year, three forced fumbles, really good pass rush. He's not getting maybe a lot of sack numbers, but he's pressuring the quarterback. He's probably maybe has the best burst of any edge rusher in the league right now. Patricia said that, I think, too. He's not the best in the run game. He's okay in that. That's why the Lions didn't take him, because he's not good in the run game. He's not as big. That's another story for another day. Defensive tackles, they got Zach Kerr. They lost Kawan Short to an injury, so Zach Kerr is their starter. He's good against the run. He's also good at pressuring the quarterback. He has 12 pressures. And then Derek Brown, the rookie, he struggled in the run blocking department, which is kind of normal for a rookie, but he has 17 pressures from the interior, which is kind of impressive. And then Yetur Gross-Matos, he's been hurt, right? And then he came back last week and started. He has a sack and a forced fumble. So that's their D-line. Nothing really special there, but Brian Burns, he's a guy. So he's kind of like the guy you circle there. Their linebackers, their weak side linebacker, Shaq Thompson, not good in coverage, okay in run defense. Tahir Whitehead, I mean, he struggled, bro. He hasn't been good for them at all. And then their Sam linebacker, rookie Jeremy Chin. They also play him at safety sometimes, too, so depending on the packages. But he struggled in coverage and run defense, but he's a rookie. I think his future is really bright. And then at corner, they got Russell Douglas, the former Eagle. He's played well for them, like better than I expected. He's been targeted 46 times in the passing game. He's allowed 28 receptions and 89.2 passer rating allowed when targeted. Their other corner is out, Dante Jackson, so they go with the rookie Tropai Jr., who we all liked. That was Malcolm's boy. He's been targeted 28 times, allowed 22 receptions, 139.6 passer rating when targeted. And then their nickel corner, Cornell Elder, he's been good this year. Then their safeties, bro, they're just, I don't know what's going on with Trey Boston. I've loved him. He struggled this year in coverage. And then Justin Burris, their other guy, strong safety, he's not that good either. So, yeah. Okay. Their defense is 22nd against the pass and 20th against the run. And yeah.
Okay. So you look at this Panthers defense now. You look at this Lions offense. You're looking at probably no DeAndre Swift this week. What's something you attack if you're Joe Bubble?
What do I attack? I go at Tropai Jr. Even Russell Douglas has played well this year. Udlin knows him in and out. He coached him. He knows his weaknesses. I go at Douglas, Pride Jr.
Go at Corey Udlin. I like that.
Hawkinson. My bad. I go at Russell Douglas and Pride Jr. The linebackers are not that good in coverage. Their safeties are not good in coverage. So your tight ends, TJ Hawkinson, right? Jesse James, Isaac Nauta, maybe Hunter Bryant. Maybe. We'll see. So, yeah, just kind of attack their linebackers and the corners and the safeties. They're just not all that good in coverage, so.
Yeah, this kind of sucks with no Swift, man. This would have been a perfect matchup for DeAndre Swift, I feel like. Like, this would have been, like, a game where we could have utilized him in so many different ways, and it could have been nice. Like, it would have been so nice to see, and, like, it sucks, man. It just sucks.
Yeah, I think you would have got 100 yards on him.
You know,
maybe in the passing game too.
If Swift doesn't play, I think Kieran will get 100 yards. I think they'll feature KJ.
Absolutely not.
Yeah. You I say mean, that right now. I really think they will feature Kieran.
Absolutely not. I have no faith that they will. I have zero faith that they'll give Kieran more than 5 carries.
That was like Kieran's last big game in the NFL.
I have zero faith that they're gonna. You think they're really gonna look at? Okay, now Swift is out. They're gonna look at Adrian Peterson and say, okay, AP. You're not going to get the bulk of the carries?
They're going to look at Jonathan Williams now. Their new
Adrian Peterson. There's going to be run pass. Adrian Peterson right up the A-gap, right towards Derek Brown. I'm telling you. It's going to be I guarantee it's going to be Adrian Peterson. I don't think
so, because they changed it last week, and their asses are on the line. They know, like, if they lose this game, they're probably fired.
The Panthers are 3-7. Who was the second – who was a running back that had the second amount of touches last week?
AP.
Adrian Peterson.
Really AP and carry on. I'm not sure.
Was it close?
I think it was like 7-5 or something like that, or 5-7.
You're looking at snaps. Carries. Yeah,
you're probably looking at snaps.
Yeah, so I'm looking at snaps.
I'm talking about carries.
Talking about carries.
Oh,
he's going to. Kerryon Johnson's going to be there on third down. He's going to be there to pass protect. But yeah, as far as running the ball, no, I think they're gonna give it to Adrian Peterson.
So, like, are we assuming Swift is out, or we don't know right now?
I have no idea. If Swift plays, I think this is going to be a good game for Swift.
Yeah. I mean, I told you what has to kind of happen for him to, you know.
So, he has to basically practice tomorrow to play.
Yeah. And
do they do walkthroughs on Saturdays or no? Like, I know some teams.
He has to have full non-contact practice. So, Saturdays are usually travel day. So,
yeah. Yeah, Joey, that's right. They're not home. So, Saturday is a travel day.
So Friday, he has, it's tomorrow or make or break.
Or out, yeah.
Yeah, we'll know tomorrow.
Yeah, that kind of sucks because we're recording today, so we don't really know. That's tough.
Yeah, and then Kenny Galladay. If you get Kenny Galladay, that's really nice. You know, obviously with no
Dante Jackson. I think Kenny will play because they didn't play someone on IR, so I think he'll play. I think they're just being cautious because they also got a short week. Remember, they got Houston coming up. Like, literally... Yeah. It's a super short week. I think they're being cautious with a lot of the guys. So I think he'll play.
Yeah. I mean, that'd be really nice, you know, help upgrade to the offense, obviously, with Kenny Galladay. I mean, you just see the difference with him on the field, obviously. It just draws many looks to him, and it could open up other guys. But, damn, it sucks without DeAndre Swift. I know one guy shouldn't be this much of, like, a carry or, like, a setback from your offense because we have so many good players, but, like, damn, bro, I wish we had DeAndre Swift this game. Like, this matchup just screams DeAndre Swift.
Yeah, because we definitely got something last week, and as far as with Swift. And I think that if we you know, focus our offense towards Swift and have him, you know, get things going to open up everybody else, I mean, I think that makes the offense better. So not having that does definitely suck. And then thinking that we're going to go back to run pass right now is making me sick.
I don't think it's run pass. That's just stupid. I don't think that they're going to do that. I think I'm going to be – I don't, bro. They didn't do that last week. They mixed it up.
We had Swift.
You could still – just because you lose a player, oh, we're going to go back to our old ways. You can't do that.
But, like, who is going to be that DeAndre Swift?
Remember we said when Galladay went out, like, uh-oh, we're in trouble again. And then,
We were. Just look at the Vikings game. But last week,
they changed it. But they changed it up last week. They got other guys involved, you know? Swift.
That guy was DeAndre Swift, bro.
He's not here right now.
Like, no, I'm saying, they're getting Marvin Hall more involved finally.
Who's our running back? Like, who's the guy?
Look, Kerryon was a second-round pick. I still have faith in, for a game, not all year, but for a game.
I agree with you. I think that would give us our best chance to win because I think he's better than Adrian Peterson right now. I don't have faith that they're going to start him or play him.
Like, he's shown flashes this year when he's gotten the ball. Not always, but he's shown some flashes.
If this team was smart, they want to play their best players. It would be DeAndre Swift and it'll be Kerryon Johnson. Just run them two and that's it. Adrian Peterson shouldn't get any carries unless there's an injury.
Or in the goal line or something like that.
Not even on the goal line. I'd rather Swift on the goal line than Adrian Peterson. Yeah. Adrian Peterson had this weird old ass cut that gets nobody. You see, like, we try to do that, shake he's trying to do. Like, it gets nobody. But
his vision is so nice, but he just doesn't have the moves anymore to move.
He wants to go there. But his body's not letting him get there.
That's what I'm saying. Like, the vision's beautiful. AP has the vision. Like, obviously, that's what made him such a good player. But, like, yeah, but he's so old now. He just doesn't have those same moves, man.
I love him. But right now, your two runners should be DeAndre Swift and Kerryon Johnson.
Yeah.
But they're going to roll with AP. I'm telling you. If Adrian Peterson is not the starter, I'll be shocked.
I would be, too, honestly.
I'll be shocked.
Yeah, I'd be very shocked.
So... what I would do, kind of like, you should be able to pass and run it on the mind, mix it up with play action, running the ball, taking your deep shots because these corners are not that good. Attack the corners I mentioned earlier, and what do you think they'll do, guys? What do you guys think?
What do you think, Malcolm? I don't know. It was like I'm having a tough time deciding on what this Lions offense could do versus this Panthers D without a guy like DeAndre Swift. I don't know. I want to hear your perspective, and I'll speak after.
I'll attack their, you know, I'll attack the secondary, of course. I'll test the secondary. I mean, they're like in the middle of the pack for everything. Like, they're in the 20s of running the ball. They're not great anywhere. So the Lions, they could probably do whatever they want. But the thing is, without Swift, it's going to make it hard. I don't believe they're going to play Kerryon, which I think they should. If they play Kerryon, Kerryon could have a big game.
I think they will, man. Because, like, Bevo did tell AP, like, he said they had to talk to him about his role going forward.
Yeah. I mean, I think they did that expecting that Swift is going to be here all the time.
I don't think they
told him that he's going to be the third down back. Like, the third running back on the depth chart. I don't think they told him that.
I hope.
I'll be shocked if AP's not out there and starting. And it'll be better for the team if AP's not out there and starting. And, you know, Kerryon is out there. Because I think Kerryon could do a lot of things that Swift can do.
Another guy we're not talking about is Jonathan Williams. If Swift can't go, Williams did have 100 yards last year with the Colts. So he's good. He's a power guy. He's not bad.
Yeah. He's not Swift.
Obviously not, but I'm just saying, like,
I don't know.
Like, they could feature him maybe too if they don't want Kerryon. They could feature Jonathan Williams.
Kerryon's better than both of them, man. Kerryon should get it, but I don't think he is. I have a weird feeling he will.
I don't know why. I just have like a weird feeling they'll give it to him. We'll see though.
They just do things weird. They do things backwards, bro.
Yeah. I don't know.
Week 10 to realize Swift was their number one running back.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. They do things weird.
I feel like they're going to really try to implement the passing game in this type of game, especially without a DeAndre Swift. You mentioned their secondary without Dante Jackson. You mentioned their linebackers are not really great in coverage. This might be a game, like you mentioned, like Jacksonville, where maybe they get a guy like TJ Hockenson involved. Maybe. Maybe that makes sense.
And you should. They can't cover.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I think looking at a guy like Hawk could be big. Obviously, if Galladay plays, I think that's really big to look for. So,
Marvin Hall.
Yeah, maybe you get the deep ball Hall and maybe involved some in the game plan.
Like, I know last week he wasn't good, but he showed some flashes with his route running. He learned how to catch the ball and track the ball.
He needs a timeout. Yeah, that motherfucker need to go on timeout right now. From what he did last week, no. He needs to go on timeout right now.
I look at Hawk a lot this game. That'd be my biggest. If I'm Bevel, I'm looking at circling one guy who I really want to get involved in this game. I'm looking at 88. I want to really get Hawk involved, and I want to get my tight ends involved in general. So if that's Jesse James, Isaac Nauta, if that's Hunter Bryant, if he's activated, I don't really care. I want to get my tight ends involved, and I think this is a good opportunity to get your tight end number 88, T. Dawkinson, involved. So that is my main priority when I'm looking at this Carolina Panthers defense. Yeah.
So big game for Hawk?
That's what I would assume. That's something where I would look at. If I'm the offensive coordinator, I'm looking for 88 in this game.
Ooh, I'm starting him in fantasy then.
Okay. Yeah, who else was your option?
He's dealing with a toe injury, right? Like last week, he was hurt. They didn't involve him that much. Hopefully, maybe this week they involve him more. He has a toe injury. And then also Stafford, like his hand, he was fine last week, but just something to monitor. We said at the beginning, but his thumb is something to monitor. So,
okay. So I want to ask the fantasy guru, the 6-4 Malcolm. You are a fantasy owner of a couple Lions players.
Yes, Marvin, I am.
Marvin Jones. Are you starting Marvin Jones this week?
I'm personally not starting Marvin Jones this week. This is not an indication to tell other Lions fans or any other owners that have them. It's not an indication to tell them not to start Marvin Jones. I just have better options right now, okay?
I mean, if he drops 16 points or plus this week again, I do not want any blame towards me. The guy who just clearly said that I'm saving this because you said it last week. I'm making sure it's you know, we're bowling at this point.
But yeah, you told me. There you gave me fantasy advice.
Stop. Actually,
give me fantasy advice.
We are in the same division. Maybe I was trying to... Hints, maybe I was hinting at Marvin Jones' big performance. That wanted you to lose. maybe that was my grand scheme. So, okay, you're not starting Marvin Jones. Okay, TJ Hockenson, are you starting him this week?
I mean, of course. I mean, I don't have no other option, but yeah, I'm starting TJ Hockenson.
Okay, and then our last guy, quarterback Matthew Stafford. Are you starting Matthew Stafford this week?
Unless he's a no-go, I'm always rolling with Stafford.
Okay. So that is Malcolm's fantasy advice of the week. Okay,
there we go. Those are my Lions players. And I want everybody to know, I am starting the Detroit Lions defense this week.
Which he just decided.
I just decided literally 2 minutes ago.
Yeah.
So. And I'm starting them. So let's go.
Okay. That's
Pierre. Right. I blame Pierre. Pierre's the one that just.
I was gonna say we were just saying how
that's
we were,
if Teddy, which like the reports are, he's like, oh no, Teddy doesn't play.
If Teddy plays, I'm taking him out ASAP. I'm taking him out immediately.
Yeah.
So Malcolm is starting the Lions defense, which he started them last week. I don't know, so I'll take blame for that one. I did say the Lions defense could be a sneaky start last week, so
and you gave me negative 1 point, so I congratulate you.
I'll take the blame for that.
Okay, you end up winning?
Me, yeah, I end up winning, so.
Yep, that's all that counts, bro. Got that dub.
Okay.
By luck. That was a luck.
All right. Good. Let's now get into our predictions for the game. No more fantasy advice. We're going to start off with, we all picked up wins this week, which is kind of rare. We all picked the Lions to beat the football team last week, so I'm sitting at top at number one at 6-3. Pierre sitting at 3-5. Malcolm and the listeners are sitting at 4-5. If you guys want to participate in vote, we've been slacking, we know. But Saturdays, we promise this Saturday, you can go on Instagram or on Twitter at the Pride Podcast, Instagram or Twitter page, and vote with our poll. So on Instagram, we'll be through the stories. On Twitter, we'll be through just a tweet with the Twitter poll. So just cast your vote by clicking whatever team you think is going to win this game.
Wait a minute. Are we able to do it through the stories too on Twitter?
Oh, yes. Twitter has stories now. So I don't know if they have a poll, but...
Yeah, I'll see. Yeah, if they have it, I might put it on there. We'll see.
So we'll see. I guess keep an eye out for that. So we don't even know if that's happening, but keep an eye out for that. And then, yeah, so that's basically it. All right, I'll start off with my prediction this week. I'm choosing the Lions to lose this week. I think the Carolina are going to win this week. I'm going to choose 31-24 Panthers. I just don't really have much.
Wait, hold on. PJ Walker's going to put up 31 points?
It's going to be a mix from PJ Walker, the running game, their defense.
A sack fumble?
Maybe.
A pick six?
I could see that. Special teams, maybe. I don't know. Maybe.
A safety?
I mean, maybe.
He's picturing everything that could go wrong for the Lions to happen.
So 31-24 Panthers.
31-24.
This game, from when we started the season with Teddy Two Gloves or without Teddy Two Gloves, just always seemed like a trap game to me, and I think that's going to come this week, this Sunday. My bold prediction this week for the Lions is something positive. I think Romeo Okwara gets 3 sacks in this game.
Romeo Okwara gets 3 sacks. Okay. I like
that's
it.
Bold.
All right.
I'll put him at, nine, right?
Yeah. He's at 6 right now, so yep.
Oh, wow. Almost a double-digit sack guy. We haven't had that guy since, what, Ziggy?
Ziggy, yeah. And
Ziggy also. Last time we had a double-digit sack guy.
2015 Pro Bowl year.
That's embarrassing. It's been 5 years since we had a double-digit sack guy.
Almost half a decade.
Wow.
In that perspective. All right, let's go to the last place now. The guy that says the Lions are very hard to predict, Pierre. Who do you got winning this game and what's your prediction?
Well, once I saw that Teddy is unlikely to play, I switched my prediction. I originally had the Panthers winning. Once I saw Teddy was out, I went with the Lions. And I still think it's going to be like kind of like, I don't think it's going to be like 31, what you said. I got the Lions winning 23-20. And my bold prediction is the Lions defense will force 4 turnovers.
So you're also saying starting them in fantasy football.
That's a bold prediction, so.
Okay. So according to Pierre.
So do
you
not
know, I start. Actually would start the Lions defense if PJ Walker is playing. That's what I would do. I'm not telling other people to do, I'm just saying that's what I would do if I had him.
So if the Lions drop another negative, which with 31 points, that is negative range for me. So I'm saying do not start the Panthers defense or the Lions defense this week. But okay. Malcolm, what do you got?
Alright, so right now it's split. And I really want to say this, okay? I originally had the Panthers win this game.
Me too.
Teddy Bridgewater playing, I think it'll be a nightmare. I think their offense would have put up 20 points. Because I think they're way better than the record. But PJ Walker, I'm going to go with Pierre with this one. I can't. We're bad, but I don't think we're P.J. Walker bad. Defensively. I don't think we're P.J. Walker bad defensively.
That's what I'm thinking, bro.
Like, we're bad. I get it. I know. But P.J. Walker bad, that's like... I don't know. P.J. Walker's not... He's not NFL starter caliber, you know? So, I just... I'm going to give my predictions. I'm going to give it... I don't think they're going to be a high-scoring game. I think it'll be 17-10 Lions. And that's only because Teddy Bridgewater's not playing.
So you guys are giving me an opportunity to get, to build a three-game lead.
And there we are.
I mean, like, I'm just trying to get back to 500 right now. So, and if I don't get it, whatever.
Wow. So you're just you're taking your loss right now, basically.
It's tough.
Are you just crowning me champion right now, Pierre? You just don't care. That's what they all say.
I can't roll the dice on PJ Walker. I can't.
Yeah, I can't. I mean, it's tough, bro.
If their backup was like Jameis Winston, I'll say, oh shit, we're getting killed. You don't think Jameis Winston could light us up?
He makes a lot of, I mean, I haven't really seen him play this year. He makes a lot of mistakes, though. Like,
he destroyed our defense last year.
I mean, shit, dude. I just don't have that much faith in this defense. I mean, I think it's bad, but I just don't think it's PJ Walker bad.
That's or fair. Will Greer, but I think they'll go with Walker.
Or Will Greer. I don't think they're Will Greer bad. You know, I don't think they're PJ Walker bad. They're bad. Like, again, if Teddy Bridgewater was playing this game, I would have to score 35-20-24 Panthers. Yeah. If Teddy was playing, but there's no, like, what could Patricia possibly say to the damn media after if he loses to PJ Walker?
I don't think he'll have the opportunity.
We got to coach better.
I hope he wouldn't even have the opportunity.
The pad level wasn't that good from that standpoint.
We got to execute better. I got to coach better. There's no way. You can't say that if you lose to PJ Walker. Like, if you lose to PJ Walker, bro, just hand in your papers, bro. Do us all a favor.
Would this be the most embarrassing loss in the Matt Patricia era?
If I was the coach of the Detroit Lions and I lost a PJ Walker and I just sat back and like reflected on my time here and just looked and just saw how much of a disaster I made the Lions, I would honestly resign.
Would I dead ass resign.
So
you're saying this would be the most embarrassing loss in the Matt Patricia era?
Between this and Sam Darnold, the Sam Darnold loss was very embarrassing. You're talking about kids straight out of college coming here, coming to the league, and lining your defense up to make you guys look completely confused. That's the most embarrassing loss to probably any team.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest. Like, these next two games, they're probably coaching for their jobs. They're both not that good. You don't want to get embarrassed on national TV Thanksgiving, right? And then you don't want to lose to a 3-7 Panthers if Teddy Bridgewater is out. It's a really bad look.
Well, you never want to lose in general.
You don't want to lose, but PJ Walker?
I'm just saying. Is this the most embarrassing loss in the Patricia era if they lose this game?
I don't know, bro. I got to see
it. It'll be tough between this and the Jets game. Those two have to be honestly the most embarrassing losses. If we do lose this game, those two losses right there will be neck to neck. PJ Walker?
Houston Roughnecks MVP?
Like, how do you lose the XFL quarterback?
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, and then, it wouldn't shock me. I mean, obviously, I picked them to win.
So you just don't have, like, faith that they could stop P.J. Walker? Is that
no, it's not even P.J. Walker. It's the tools he has around him. It's nothing
but P.J. Walker. What makes you think Walker could get the ball to them?
Because all the Lions have given up is dink and doinks, and they've gotten killed by a rub route. You're trying to tell me I don't think Will Greer or P.J. Walker could throw a rub route or a slant? Come on,
man. And if that happens, I'm telling you, he's got to make one guy miss.
And you're telling me, I don't think Curtis Samuel could take a one slant all the way? I mean, I could definitely see that. I mean, you guys the thing is,
you have him doing that multiple times. You haven't put up 31 points.
I told you, if I have him compared to Chase Daniel, Chase Daniel's beat this defense before.
I think the Bears defense did majority of the work on us.
Did he do enough?
He ain't put up 31 points, bro. That's a little.
Did he do enough though?
In what you talking about last year when we talked
2018 Thanksgiving, Stafford versus Chase Daniel.
I was so mad for that game.
Why are we talking about 2018? This is like this year. Let's not worry about that.
What I'm saying is, if Chase Daniel could do it, it doesn't matter what the quarterback is. I mean, he has a solid team around him.
It actually does matter who the quarterback is.
It does matter, but it's not the only factor. You're making it seem like it's the only factor. The Carolina Panthers' only factor is Teddy Bridgewater being out. It's not the only factor.
A Panthers reporter said the most irreplaceable player on the Panthers roster is Teddy Bridgewater. That's just like the Lions without Stafford.
No, it's not.
Really, Malcolm? Yeah, it is.
Let me tell you, Pierre, I have to stop you there
because Stafford contributes more to the offense than Teddy Bridgewater has to contribute more to Carolina Panthers' offense. They have Christian McCaffrey.
You guys have Mike Davis. The Lions can't tackle. The Lions could tackle. He said they're going to take every play like 80 yards to the house. That's not true. They could tackle.
I didn't say that. I said, could they take three or four of them? Yeah.
No. The Lions don't really give up big plays, but they don't give them like as screens. They give them like as passes, and it's mostly Okuda and coverage. He's young, but it's mostly.
It's rub routes. It's rub slant routes that they give up, and I could definitely see that happening.
Giving up an 80-yard touchdown pass? I don't see it happening. I just don't. But
I'm not saying that specifically.
I don't see it happening as many times as.
Yeah, you said like five times.
No, I'm not saying. Okay, you guys are taking me. You guys are misquoting me now. I'm saying
you quoted it yourself.
I'm saying, could a quarterback throw a rub route in the NFL level? Any quarterback could throw a rub route. Chase Daniel, PJ Walker, Teddy Bridgewater, Matthew Stafford, Philip Rivers, Gardner Minshew, Mitchell Trubisky. Anybody could throw a rub route. Anybody could throw a slant route. This Lions defense can't stop anybody. They suck. They suck ass.
Hey, hold on. How did Gardner Minshew do?
Oh my God. Like, they're not good.
How did Kyler Murray do? How did Gardner Minshew do? I'm just saying, bro.
Gardner Minshew is better than PJ Walker. I'm sweating here now. I'm saying.
I mean, you guys are acting like the Carolina Panthers, like the Kansas City Chiefs, and they're just not.
You're making it sound like this Lions defense hasn't given up like a bunch of yards to any quarterback this year.
Pierre, in all fairness. Would it surprise you if there's a play on Sunday that just 10 guys on the field and they take it 80 yards? Would that surprise you?
Yeah, it kind of would. I hope that doesn't happen.
Like, why would that surprise you? Would it surprise me if there's a play?
That's a big disappointment, man. Their asses are on. No, Daron Harmon would call a timeout if that happened. So that won't happen.
Good for Daron Harmon.
No, but for real, PJ Walker, come on. I don't know. That's your opinion. Let's just announce, that's a wrap.
I'll say this. Wait, before we do that, I'll say this. I just want to say this. I don't disagree with you, Tyler, because it could happen. Like, if the Lions blow this game, would I be shocked? Like, from a scale of 1 to 10, my shock level would be like a 3. Like, it would have shocked me. Like, I could see this game going first quarter, Lions look amazing. Second quarter, the Lions look amazing. Then third quarter, you can see them fading. And then fourth quarter, you can see a comeback. Now, will I be surprised if that happened? No. I have zero. Like, it wouldn't shock me at all if that's how the game goes. And then at the last minute, they pull out a win. I was like, fucking Lions. Fucking Bevel. You know, I have to blame somebody. And I think Bevel will be a part of it. So I have to say fucking Bevel. Because if Bevel allows this to happen. But it wouldn't shock me. But the thing is, Lions, this is a game the Lions should win and should win easily. With Swift or without Swift. They should win this game easily. But
it's not going to be easy.
Could they blow it? I'm going to be shocked if they blew it. I want to be shocked if they blew it. So we could just end it there. We'll see what happens, man.
Yeah.
We'll see this Sunday. My head's going to explode if I keep talking about this game. It hasn't even happened yet. This team. All right. The new schedule that we will be having, just to make the episodes a little shorter, because we noticed the post game videos or post game podcasts are like end up being like an hour and a half. So, to make it easy on everybody, we could release it more on like at a better time. We're going to start recording on Sundays, just our reactions of the game, and dropping that on Monday morning. Then we still want to get you guys involved, the voicemails and the calls, obviously. So we're going to record Monday night, make an episode just dedicated to you guys, your questions, your thoughts, your rants, whatever. That'll be released Wednesday, Tuesday, whatever. But Monday morning will be just our reaction now, so you guys can just get a fresh look of kind of what just happened at Lions game. So
you heard it first.
Friday is obviously like the breakdowns.
And Friday, that's not changing. So
you heard it first.
So this week, guys,
breakdowns.
We're gonna release probably like two episodes next or three episodes, right? Because it's a short week. So just bear with us, but. Go Lions, and hopefully they win against the Panthers. I'm out. Peace.
Yeah, I hope the Lions win this Sunday. I just have zero faith in them. But I hope they do win. I really do. But it is what it is. Go Lions, I guess. We didn't even sink forward down the field last episode. It didn't deserve it.
No, but I mean, we still gave him a victory speech.
Yeah, he did. I enjoyed that.
All right. I guess that's the end of the show, and it's your boy Malcolm, and I'm out. Peace.
Yep.